When we take steps into the new, when we take a step, we start a new season. All right, how many people already have their summer vacation planned? Already know where you're going? Yeah, because that's what you do. You know there's this season coming, and you're already got plans. You already know, like, I want you to hear this. In this season, I want to do this. Okay? Look, when God brings us to a new season, if we'll take a step, a new season begins, there's something God wants from us. So I want you to hear six words that are really important, and they're for every person in this room, everybody online. All right, here are the six words. Get up, step out, and then bring in. Get up, step out, bring in. Again, we're people who tend to want God to do something new while we don't get up or step out. I want you to look at the passage of Scripture here in Matthew 9. Okay, notice the get up, the step out, and then the bring in. Here we go. As Jesus went, it's going to be a theme of this passage. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the hated tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew did what? Got up, stepped out, followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and quote-unquote sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the religious people saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with hated tax collectors and awful sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn." There's that go again. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And aren't we glad he did, everybody, right? Aren't we glad? Yeah. Verse 35, here's Matthew now following, taking some steps. Jesus went through all the towns. There's Jesus again. He's going someplace. Through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, including Matthew, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Would you ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field?" Look, everybody, this is what Jesus lived and died for. He died that we would get up, step out, and then bring in. Every time we're willing to get up from where we are, willing to take a step out to where we've never been, it will always lead us to someone who needs the same grace and mercy that we did. And I want to challenge you this summer. We all know what we want to get out of summer. But let me tell you what Jesus says that he wants to get out of summer. He wants this to be a harvest season. He wants this to be a season where your life helps somebody else's life know him. So I want to give you a challenge this summer, and I feel like it's straight from the Lord, and I feel like it's for every one of us, not those people, not, "Oh, I'm doing something else." No, this is for all of us. Everyone, bring one to Jesus by August 1. Everyone, young and old, new and veteran status, everyone, bring one to Jesus by August 1. You know, it's amazing how sometimes there are things that we're given and we know the time and the date, and yet we're like, "Oh, was that me?" Like when I, you know, like chore day on Saturdays at the Franco house. It's like, that's supposed to be done. We all know there's a deadline and a date. And yet maybe dad goes by and sees that something's not quite done. It's like, "Oh, was I supposed to do that?" Yeah, no, everyone does this by this date. Look, we have an amazing ability as religious people to find reasons not to get up. And yet, Jesus is saying, look, the one thing I care about, The one thing I care about is there's a harvest in this summer season. There's someone who needs me just like you need me. There's someone who's walked through the last 17 months just like you walked through the last 17 months. And just restrictions by themselves aren't the reason to all of a sudden feel like things are solved. No, we all have something deeper that these 17 months have shown us. Look, let's not let the world's sigh of relief just be that things have changed in the physical. Man, people's hearts needs to change. And we're part of that answer. Everyone brings one by August 1. Get on up. Step on out. And then bring in. Doesn't matter how many Bible studies you've done, how long you've been to church. No, the Bible says he or she that wins souls is what? Is wise. Greatest wisdom you're ever going to learn is not from a Bible study. It's from helping somebody know Jesus. Because then you see him and you move. You see him move. You remember who he is in ways that no book is ever going to show you. Now, some of us are like, hey, Pastor Sean, like, love Jesus, but I'm pretty intimidated by that process. Well, let me encourage you. Jesus didn't call you to something he didn't plan to do through without him doing it through you. And it's just a matter of something I call the rule of six. Okay, the rule of six goes like this. If I got a tree in the backyard that needs to come down no matter what size, if I decide to get out there and every day I go to that one tree, and I grab that one axe, and I take six swings at it, then I go inside, and then the next day I come back out, I go to that same tree, pick up that same axe, and I do what? Six strikes. Then the next day, guess what I do? I go to that same tree, pick up that same axe, and what do? One, two, three, four, five, six. Man, I take that axe, I chop at it. What's going to happen to that tree eventually? It's going to fall. It's going to fall. And the secret of it falling is not that I did it all day long. It's that I did it every day. See, the rule of six is this. That if you got the right focus, you got the right tool, it's only a matter of time. Jesus said, here's the focus. Here's the thing that is eternally important. Man, 3 years from now, you're probably not going to remember what you did this summer. I tell you what, you bring someone to Christ, you'll remember that. You'll remember this summer. Be a summer you'll never forget. Because it's the most eternally important thing you'll ever do. It's the most transformed. You'll learn more in walking with someone to how they discover Christ than you'll do in any book you ever read. It's the most important, and it's the thing, if you love God, it's the thing that shows you love him the most. It's like, hey, I want someone else to love him just as much as I do. So this is God's heart. Everyone, bring one by August 1. Doesn't matter if we're messy. Doesn't matter if we're new. It just takes every day. Every day. And I want to give you your summer six, because in this passage, six things you do. You do it every day. You do it you just ask God to work it in you. This will happen. You will fulfill the very prayer that Jesus said, hey, help me bring in the harvest this summer. First one is, it starts out with going deeper with Jesus. If you'll go deeper with Jesus, you'll go wider with Jesus. This summer, you know what? My birthday's in the summer. There's some plans I want to do. And in order to travel, to get together with the people I want to get, you know what I got to do? I got to save enough to give enough to make the relationship possible. I got to save enough to give enough to make that moment possible. Look, we don't have to. We can be messy, man. We're all in process. Nobody's perfect here. But if we'll just take a step with Jesus, we'll go a little deeper. If we'll find a new relationship to grow in, if we will take that step and learn a little bit more, kind of take that step in knowing him, man, when we go deeper, we'll go wider. I don't know what it means. Matthew, right? Hey, you're sitting there. Hey, come on, get up. Take a step. And when he did, man, life changed. What's that going to look like for you? First thing we got to do is go deeper with Jesus. Doesn't have to be complicated. Just has to be sincere. Then what we're going to do is we're going to go to the lost, not as a follower, but as a leader. We follow Jesus, we lead the lost. All right, did you notice in this passage how many times does Jesus go. As he went, he sees Matthew. Verse 35, Jesus went to all of the towns and the villages sharing. He ends up asking for God to send people to go. Christians have tragically turned the lost into someone they're around instead of someone they're sent to. Well, I work around, It's like, yeah, I know you're around them, but are you going to them? There's a big difference. You know, sometimes the church has this version of holiness that says, oh, holiness is I can't wait to be away from those people. Which is sad because we are those people. We've just got mercy and grace. We've just found that Jesus got an answer. We're no different. Jesus, his version of holiness was always going to. Look, I know you're around people who don't know Jesus, but are you going to them for Jesus? One pastor said, the great tragedy of the American church today is it only values those who share its values. I think that is spot on. The tragedy of the American church is it only values those who share its values. That was never Jesus. John chapter 4, at the well with the Samaritan woman, she doesn't share his values at all, but he values her. Are we only going to value people who share our values? Are we going to live like Jesus said, man, I value you no matter who you are. I care about you. That's the call of Jesus. A few months ago, I've always, in just particular our family storyline and our friendship storyline, you know, someone who doesn't share our values might, you know, in terms of biblically and understanding the word, a homosexual community, right? And I'm always like, man, I've met some of the just people I just care about. I value them highly, but I just thought, you know, I haven't spent enough time. I'm around a lot of people who share my values. How can I start not being with people who share my values? Because that's what Jesus was. And so it actually took my friend Ahmad Damaj, who's the director of the Muslim Center for Richmond, to get me a connection because people were like, oh, politically this, that, nobody, you know, those people don't want to talk. I'm like, no, I need to know my neighbors better. And so the Lord ended up giving me a relationship with the higher ups in Diversity Richmond. And at first when he I called, he was like, you know, kind of, what do you want? I was like, no, I just, you know, hey, I'm on the Board of Social Services. I'm active in our schools. I just want to know there's people in my community that I care about. I just don't know how they're doing. And it was interesting because it took him a little while. I was like, all right. And we started saying, hey, let's talk once a month. And we'd get together. We'd just talk. And at first, he was like, you know, he kind of went into like, kind of like, hey, agree with me mode and stuff. And I was just like, man, I just want to know how you're doing. Like, what's going on? And he started talking to me about some of the specific needs on the Jeff Davis corridor and how they were trying to do food drives. I was like, hey, we do food drives there all the time, too. Maybe we do something together. I was like, all right. And we were starting to plan that. And all of a sudden, I didn't hear from him a little bit. And I kind of reached out and emailed. He's like, hey, you know, I got some medical problems. I got a surgery. Sorry I've missed you and stuff. I was like, hey, you don't worry about me. You take care of you. I'm praying for you. And you just let me know when we can be in the middle of that. And he's like, hey, man, that means a lot that you're praying for me. And the story goes on. Are we going to be a church that totally ignores the life of Jesus? Jesus valued people that didn't share his values, because he knew who created them and knew how much the Father loved them. How about us? Are we going to be around people who don't share our values? Or are we going to go to people who don't share our values? Because once you get there, this is what you got to do next. You got to ask God, hey, help me see them your way. Why are we letting the world dictate how we see people? Jesus had a pretty simple filter of how he saw people. He said, one, all of them are made in the image of God. And all of them, God created to be with them. And all of us need them. And that was pretty much it. But it's got to be up to us to say, are we willing to see them God's way? But here's the two things that keep us from seeing people God's way. One is fear, which we let the world dictate that storyline. And the second is comparison. Comparison kills compassion. If you're going to walk around and wonder how you stack up to everybody around you, you're never going to have compassion on them. Comparison kills compassion. But if what we'll do is say, God, I want to see them the way you want. I know I have needs. I know they look great on social media, but they're a person. Lord, would you help me? Would you help me to see them your way? I love the principle of 101%. Find the 1% you have in common and give it 100% in that relationship. Church today waits till people share 100% of their values and then gives them 1%. It's tragic. Jesus, man, he found the 1% at the woman on the well, said, here's the one thing we got to come. Give it 100% and saw her come to new life. How about us? Because once we get there, once we start seeing people with compassion the way Jesus does, then what we want to do next is we want to add value, not to our lives, but to theirs. If we value them, how can I add value? What did Jesus do? He preached in their synagogues. He declared the good news of the kingdom, and he healed the sick. When's the last time you've added value to people around you? Not what you need. Man, that's you and God. You're going deeper. You're good there. No, man, how can I be a blessing? How can I serve? I've spent next month, which is coming up, I guess, next day, I will finish 10 years on the Board of Social Services for Chesterfield Colonial Heights. 10 years. And I did it because our government, our community government, saw us adding value to the Shady Hill Trailer Park community. Said, man, we love that you guys are, like, doing there. Would you guys help us? So 10 years, man, monthly meetings, extra meetings. And I did it for two reasons. One, I love my community, and I thought, Lord, who's the voice for the voiceless? And then I thought of all these social workers, the over 175 employees in the Department of Social Service, like, God bless them, man. How are they doing? So for 10 years, man, meeting after meeting, would always, after board meetings, would after walk around, give out awards, say, hey, thank you for what you do. 10 years saying, hey, if you need it, you let us know. We'll go to Board of Supervisors. We'll advocate for you. And what we do is, like, did I care about every government mandate and every budget number and every, like, what's the local national, you know, local state share match to this program and stuff? No. But you know what? I had the gift of leadership, and it wasn't supposed to be just for my church. It was supposed to be for my community. 10 years, man, month after month. I don't know if you know this, but in the Board of Chesterfield County, every new child that enters foster cares goes before the board. We hear their story, and we approve their placement. That meant for 10 years, I've heard the story. And if you didn't hate, by the way, if you didn't hate drugs before, you should just hear a few stories of why kids enter foster care. You should hate drugs pretty bad. Every month, hearing the story of the name and the story of every child that entered foster care at Chesterfield Colonial Heights. And one day I realized that we're in the middle of a closed session where there are no notes. And I said to the chairperson, when I wasn't the chair, I said, hey, I mean, it's closed session. Do you mind if I would like to pray over every name? And they're like, yeah, sure. And most of them were people of faith. And others were like, sure, no, anything for them. So for the past 10 years, there hasn't been a child who's entered foster care at Chesterfield Colonial Heights that didn't get prayed for. Say, Lord, watch over them and help them. And what was really interesting in all that, 10 years in and out, 10 years in and out, 10 years like, oh yeah, I gotta look at that budget report before the meeting. 10 years in and out, and one day I'm finishing up a presentation to the Board of Supervisors for something we're asking for because our team needed it. And they're like, okay, hey, we're going to take a break. And I'm walking out, and I don't even know if they, you know, I don't know if they're going to do it or not. And one of the leaders in our county government walks out and is kind of after me, say, hey, Reverend Franco. I'm like, yeah. I say, hey, man, I really appreciate what you do. I'm like, oh, man, you know, glad to do it. God cares for all. He said, hey, I've been thinking that, you know, my kids need to learn about religion. You know, like, when do you guys do services and stuff? And boom, and story continues. You know what, can I just say this for all of us that are in the marketplace, whether it's education, government, finance, you know, medical, government, you know, whatever it is. You know, we live in a world that needs us to add value, not just talk about faith issues. And ironically, if we would add value because of our faith, we would find a lot more open doors. Can I say it this way? Okay? There's really nothing worse in the marketplace than the Christian who wants you to go to heaven but is a lousy worker. You know what that, you know those people you're inviting? You know what they're thinking? I don't want to go to heaven with you. I don't even like you. You make my life harder, not better. So how about let's add some value? Let's add some value. Let's bring a spirit of excellence to what we do. To say, hey, God cares about what burdens you. You notice out in the foyer there, there's a professional magazine that's about impacting culture and influencing change. You take as many copies as you want. It's part of a ministry that I see that's doing things in the marketplace to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Take as many as you want, spread them out. Look, we've got to add value to our lives. And then, and we've got to remember this one, we've got to take time to trust the Holy Spirit's work. Because when you plant your summer garden, it takes a little while to get the harvest out of it, right? So just plant seeds and trust. Go deeper with Jesus, go to the lost, pray to see them God's way. Add value to their lives, then trust in the work of the Holy Spirit. Would you be more concerned about connecting than correcting? Would you be looking at them God's way instead of worrying about correcting them? Would you be worried about connecting them and let the Spirit of God do his work? Jesus is meeting with a whole bunch of people, and religious people are saying, why is he there? That's wrong. He shouldn't be there. Jesus is saying, this is why I came. Hey, by the way, all you religious people who know all your scriptures. Hey, how about that scripture about mercy over religious sacrifice? How about mercy? How about just trusting the Holy Spirit? How about not being so concerned about correcting, but more concerned about connecting? And you'll have your chance. You'll actually get invited into the story. Last spring, when all the race riots were going on, I had texted two of our border supervisors that I know well because all these years of serving. And a man called me right after the text, said, hey, Reverend Franco, what do you think about where we're at? I said, well, here's what I think. By the way, I just talked to one of your other board supervisors who called me, who's the opposite political party of you. He's asking the same question. Why don't you two get together? Oh, I didn't know that. I will. It's like, you plant the right seeds and trust the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will give you all the opportunities you need to bring correction. But focus on connection. And then the last thing, and I just love this, harvests do belong in a storehouse, right? Now, I want to tell you, that people that you're around, they're probably not thinking about church all that much. They're probably not like, I'm really struggling, I should go to church. Probably not even in their mind. So you better be focused more about connecting with them right where they are than worry about them coming to church. But I'm telling you what, once you get that connection, hey man, ask to be a harvester. You know, this summer, one of my girls, right, you know, married out in Texas, I want to figure out a way to get her back home this summer, because that's what you do with family. You want to get back together. And the Father in heaven, for every person who doesn't even know, every person doesn't even know they're a son and daughter of God in the making, man, the Father feels the same way this summer. As much as you want to get together with somebody, the Father in heaven wants to get with somebody more than you can possibly imagine. It's all about taking time to reach those around us. So we're just going to wrap up today, and I'm asking you right now, would you be someone who brings one by August 1? Say, Lord, help me be part. I'll tell you what, you will have a summer you will never forget. You'll forget half of the, confession time. I don't remember half the sermons I've ever preached, okay? That's okay if you don't either. That's just how it goes. But I tell you what, you help someone know Jesus, you'll never forget that moment. Never forget that moment. You were born to do it. So my question is this. Oh, by the way, you heard about the 13th kids celebration, the 20th. We have Father's Day, small group. These are all moments to invite people. July 4th, we're going to do our next water baptism because I can't imagine any better independence than the slavery from slavery from sin. Amen. Right? July 4th. July 18th, we will have Richmond's tallest water slide here. It's not going to be a baptism at that point. You know, it's just water. But we just want to have a time for families. Those are moments you can be thinking about some of your neighbors, some of your coworkers. Remember the six words we started with? Do you remember what they are, the six words? Get up. Step out. Bring in. Everybody say it with me. Get up. Step out. Bring in. Man, this is the season you're about to enter into, but you got to get up. Got to get up to step out. You got to let God do something new. I love Lori's testimony. Lori, thank you for that. It's like, hey, that was hard for me. But I'd rather follow Jesus than stay where I'm at. How about you? What does it look like for you to take a step? Hey, I'm going to ask you in a moment to do something you do every Sunday, but I'm going to ask you to think about it. Where do you need to get up and step out? Would you get up right now? I'm going to ask our elders, spouses, and then any deacons that are invited to come up. Would you come up for prayer, to be part of prayer time? Hey, everybody, the reason we do this at the end is sometimes stuff is on our heart. Stuff is on our heart that we're having a tough time with. But instead of taking a moment of relationship, we just stay where we are. Hey, I want to encourage you, let this getting up and stepping out be right now. If you want just someone to pray with you, whether you've got a sickness or a need, or whether you just say, man, I really want God to use me to help somebody. I already know the person I would love to bring, but man, it feels impossible. Why don't you come on up and let someone pray with you? We're a church that walks together. So I'm going to ask you if you bow your hearts, your heads and your hearts right now. The first step is always making him Lord and Savior. Matthew had to get up from the life he had and follow Jesus. If you're not following Jesus today, and as I'm talking, you can come up for prayer if you want. If you would like today to be the day, say, I would like to begin to follow Jesus today. I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm ready. I know God's calling me, and I want to grow in that. I want to begin. I want to invite him in my heart today. I'm just going to ask you right now to get that hand up and look right at me and say, hey, this is my day. I want to make that choice. Anybody there that wants to make the choice online, feel free to let the online hosts know that. Well, then I'm going to ask all of us here, I'm going to ask you right now to repeat a prayer after me out loud. I'm going to ask you to say it nice and strong, and I want you to make it sincere as you know how. Would you repeat after me out loud? Dear Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for never giving up on me. Now help me to take a step of faith. Help me to bring one to you. Take away my focus on myself and lead me to the harvest field. I want your heart to be my summer. Lord, we thank you and we declare through this worship now that we have decided to follow you into this new season. As we do so, move by the Spirit in our lives. And Lord, cause us to experience the breakthrough and the freedom that you have for us. As we worship, the altars are open. Feel free to come to someone for prayer. Emily, would you lead us? Let's give our hearts to the Lord in a fresh way for this summer.